You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Come to be with your night.
Running like a red disease.
Running like a red disease. Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yo. You got to learn to love yourself. Yeah, ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timaria.
This call may be recorded or
transcribed. Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement, Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted. And we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and in honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life there's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotel Family. Hope everything is well for you today. Hope you're going to have a good weekend. Hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping, too, the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But, of course, if it is not, and it must be done, it will get done because you'll do it. It will get done. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, and any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcasts, podcast programs. Hit podcast programs to drop down, and the first thing you'll see is African Perspectives. And there will be programs that are dated and titled. Also, to family, you can use a shortcut, whatever search engine that you use. You know, Firefox, Internet Explorer, whatever. Put in the search, babaoshi.net. BABAOSHI.net. And once again, programs that are dated and titled for your pleasure. Listening pleasure and edutainment. That's right. Your edutainment. Okay, we got a guest today on the program, talking with the Brothers of Kwanzaa and its founder, Brother Gerald Braxton, and one of the main persons that helps make it go, Brother Ramesses. And we'll get to that in a minute because we're going to forego the announcements because I want to give these brothers as much time as possible. But we will read the Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. This is Baba Mwalimu Baruti's book, The Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. We'll read yesterday, today, and tomorrow. April 18th. The wind must have heard your voice once. It echoes and sings like you. Henry Dumas. African women cannot help the way they look, the subtle intoxication of their fragrance, the rhythm of their walk, their sway, the melodious way their voices sing are gifts naturally bestowed upon them only. Their beauty is not their fault, nor is it a fault. Softly, it exudes incomparability. Exquisiteness is a blessing that only they possess, a generous gift to African men. African women are our vessels of hope, elegant carriers of our timeless resilience, love, and victory. Everything about them speaks magnificently about the timeless, defining ideal womanhood. Their voices carry the original vibrations of one undefiled body, mind, and spirit. As a vibratory representation and expression of a person who commands respect and exudes inner and outer beauty, her voice echoes and sings the melodies of femininity, like the millions before her. She captivates the wind and calls it home. Ashe. Affirm, I am captivated by the beauty of my complement's voice. Affirm, I am captivated by the beauty of my complement's voice. April 19th. Blacks are still enslaved today, for the very simple reason that all of our life-sustaining institutions are controlled by Europeans. And that is slavery, not oppression. Dr. Bobby Wright. Looking around the world, it's obvious that we have not yet quite decided whether we want to confront and end the Ma'afa or continue to actively contribute to our people's demise. For those whom this question speaks to a real operative threat to our actual existence, know that there is no middle ground, no neutral corner where one can hide in this war. Those who would fight for our place in the universe must be forged into an army. Imagine a legion of tempered descendants. They would know they can handle anything that confronts them. They would be empowered and self-determining. They would have found their infinite potential by having successfully passed the increasingly more difficult tests that we carefully and compassionately place before them. They would intuitively know that can't die long before the ancients were born. They would know that they are African. When it comes to doing the most serious and difficult nation-building work, the work of sustaining and defining our community and defending our community, the last thought that we should ever hear come out of a warrior's mouth is what cannot be done. Just as no one is born wise, no one is born with self-confidence. It has to be developed. It has to be nurtured. It takes time. Affirm, I am working towards us completely and totally controlling all of our life-sustaining institutions. Affirm, I am working toward us completely and totally controlling all of our life-sustaining institutions. April 20th. Self-help is the best help. Aesop. People raised on a diet of ease and unearned excess purposefully socialized to reject the idea of independent thinking and actually working to produce for self place little, if any, value or concern on their rights. They assume them to be automatic. People who receive and expect to receive all they desire without any effort on their part, and even in spite of their every effort not to earn them, place little long-term and even often immediate value on what they receive. They simply expect whatever it is to be there for them whenever they want it. As most African people have voluntarily moved to a sense of security in European hands, many of us have been ushered into a purely consuming and leisure mentality, all the while being systematically guided away from any aspirations for real, effective power. Our enslavement process, now intensified by the process of emptying our souls of the strength of human character, though removing the drive for, the reason behind, laboring to produce and maintain an autonomous state of being. Before the whip, noose, and various other forms of institutionalized racism kept us in check, now we are suffocating under the weight of our own powerlessness. Decadent indulgence. Affirm, I beg no one to do what I can do for myself. I say, affirm, I beg no one to do what I can do for myself. Brothers and sisters, the Inya Sasim of daily revolutionary thought. I say. Good morning, family, and believe me, I'm very honored and happy to have two good people that I know very, very well from the city of Milwaukee. Well, I don't know if they're from the city. I know Brother Gerald's not from the city of Milwaukee. He's from Brother's from Buffalo, y'all, and left Buffalo, came to Milwaukee. Now he's in Minnesota. You know, you need a break from that cold, brother. How you doing, Gerald?
I am doing good, bro. Good morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Hey, there's one other city, my main city, which is another cold climate, that would be Lackawanna. That's where it all started.
That's right. So that's right, Lackawanna.
Still looking for sunshine. Right, right.
Well, I would tell you, you know, and I've told you many times that, you know, Lackawanna Blues is probably one of, is truly one of my favorite movies, man. And I know you know many of the people who are being portrayed in that movie, Lackawanna Blues. I love that movie, man. Yes, I do. Also, too, we have Ramesses. Good morning, Ramesses.
Good morning, Elsie. It's good to be here. It's an honor.
It's always a pleasure, my brother. It's always a pleasure. Yeah. So we want to talk, of course, about the Brothers of Kwanzaa, a JEGNA program. I know we call it mentoring, but we try our best to put the words that most appropriately deal with who we and what we are. And I've been in a thing about trying to inform our brothers and sisters about even using the word mentor, because we got to know who mentor was in the story, very succinctly, very quickly, in the story of Odysseus, you know, Ulysses or whatever. He was going to fight the wars, and he, very succinctly, he was going to go off and fight the wars, and he left his son, Telemachus, put him in the hands of mentor. And mentor sexually abused his son. And so, therefore, that's why we don't use the word mentor. He sexually abused Telemachus. And so we use the word JEGNA. JEGNA is a word out of Ethiopia. J-E-G-N-A. JEGNA, J-E-G-N-A, JEGNA. And plural is JEGNA. The one thing that I haven't found is what a person who is who has a JEGNA, what that person is called. I know we use the word mentee, you know, to describe the person who is being mentored, you know. But I'm gonna they're gonna come up with something. That's for sure. So, but here we use the word JEGNA, because JEGNA firmly describes, and that person is somebody who brings out what the best in that person, that who they're working with, you know, and guiding that person and putting the best into that person for the community. So, yeah.
So, I could say as well, too, you know, I don't think that we really used the word mentor that much throughout all the years that we did. You know, we were always a little bit off the, I guess, maybe the path that was direct. Everything was a little avant-garde with this model.
Okay.
But I agree with you, and for us to continue, and it just shows you how, regardless of what stage you are in your life, you're in a position to learn and to grow.
Right.
And hopefully to be able to pass that on, you know, to others. We focused on more on empowerment, self-empowerment, youth empowerment, you know, self-empowerment.
Good.
That was our primary avenue. That was what we wanted to create and to bring about.
Well, you've been very successful in that. And, of course, Ramesses and many others are a testament to, you know, Dr. James Ferguson, you know, Brother Ferguson. I mean, great example of the work that you guys have done. How many people would you say have gone through the Brothers of Kwanzaa over these many years?
Wow. Directly in terms of, and that's a good question, and please listen to what I'm saying, because it becomes very important in terms of even the model. I would like to think in the 23 years, we average probably maybe 50 students at Milwaukee High School of the Arts, you know. However, the importance and the impact of the model is that those 50 students per year reached out to so many other students and youth throughout Milwaukee, You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, so, I do.
We were working directly, but also it became the mission, again, of the students who was involved in the program to be able to reach out to other students. And I think they did that effectively in so many different ways in terms of, and I think you remember, OC, in terms of us traveling through Milwaukee, going to different schools,
yes,
presenting to student groups.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to measure, you know, maybe what that impact. However, throughout the years, I've had, you know, other, you know, students would come up and say, hey, we witnessed Brothers of Kwanzaa, it motivated us, so on and so forth. So those are the type of things, kind of right from the beginning, trying to think out the box on how can we be more effective and how can we kind of spread this word. So that was a big part of it.
I say. That's a, it's a beautiful
and
thing.
And if I can speak to your listeners as well, too, again, and I think Ramesses just kind of hit on it. I'm just honored to be on, you know, to be on your show. And I know it's been a long time coming, no fault of yours, but, you know, with mine. But we really appreciate it. And I think the workers, I mean, the people who are listening that may not know you, you know, in terms of your commitment and what we've seen almost right from the beginning of you coming in and just, you know, taking time off from your regular work to be there whenever we needed, and you were a regular throughout the years. But in addition to not only yourself, and you mentioned that too, some of the other folks, and I always try to pay honor to these folks that they put in through so much throughout the years, because it wound up being a collaborative effort, really a labor of love, where black men were coming into the schools and being able to talk with you. So, you know, I and some names I will miss out, but certain ones I just have to, which were almost on the same plane as yourself that made this this model successful. I have to say my older brother, Carvis Braxton.
Yes, all praise to him, all honor to him. Yes,
yes, Ron Pounds, mm-hmm, who was consistently involved right from the beginning. Taki Ratan, mm-hmm, you know, who had his own school, but who brought so much information and energy into, mm-hmm, this model. We got James Smith, who was a para at the school, but was very much involved right from the beginning. Dennis Leonard, Marvin Pratt, James Wallace, Barry Applewhite, Howard Fuller, which was, was the superintendent of schools at the time, mm-hmm, who opened up the door to allow me to be able to be creative in terms of developing this model because of the extent of the issues that we were dealing specifically with black males in this society.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to just always, and there's going to be some names that, and I can't ever forget Larry Lampkin, who was,
that's right,
you know, that was my partner. You know,
that's
that,
right, Lamp. So, now, how is Lamp and where is he at?
Lamp is doing good. He's, you know, retired and enjoying his retirement.
He deserves
right
it.
Now he's living in Florida at the moment.
He's in Florida, okay.
Yeah, but he's doing good. And that brother was just so much support for me mm-hmm, throughout the years because, you know, it became challenging to try to maintain and implement this model for 20-something years. So between him and Regina Walton, you know, we were the three omegos, so we kind of supported each other, but that encouragement was needed when, you know, times got a little difficult and, you know, you had so many other different things to do, you know.
Sure, but you guys...
So, yeah, I just want to say that, Oshie, because I love you, brother, you know, and for what you've done, and all my guys know you, you know, and they love you.
So you know, I look forward to it, and I looked forward to it, and I appreciated the opportunity to work with those young men and to talk about a number of things that were happening in the community, historical information, give them the, you know, the concepts of Kwanzaa. And so, I mean, all kinds of good stuff. I really enjoyed it. You always and what you had. Let me say this. You know, a lot of times I would go into schools and I would work with some of the tougher kids. But you had the good young men. You had the respect. You had leaders. You had young men who already understood that they want to do more for themselves and for their family. They were motivated, such as Brother Ramesses, man. And Dr. Ferguson, man, you had
okay,
some
Oshie. I don't know if you got the full picture, but honestly, I think that Brothers of Kwanzaa instilled that kind of mutual respect in us because it respected us. It gave us a sense of being respect worthy, and we just passed it forward. You know, it was something that we learned about ourselves, and then we wanted others to experience it as well. So it's something that we learned over time. And by the time you got there, I'm sure that you reaped the benefits of that kind of motivation that Braxton instilled in us.
Sure. Believe me. I mean, just to view it and to see how well you young men worked with each other and giving guidance to the younger people who are coming in, you know, into the organization, into Brothers of Kwanzaa, and showing them, you know, how y'all do things and so forth. And, you know, and I'm quite sure some of the trips that Brother Brax helped you guys go on was also a motivation and an inspiration and a learning factor, you know. Yeah, I tell you, to me, it's a very good program. It's a program, to me, that needs to be duplicated. Even though you guys have not had the program going on it at the School of the Arts for quite a few years now. Is that correct?
23 years.
23 mm-hmm. years.
23 consecutive years that it ran.
Okay.
Well, we've been out of the loop for roughly 10 years. Roughly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, you've been out of the loop for 10 years now, see? So y'all need to... So Brothers of Kwanzaa needs to resurface at a number of places across this country in schools that need it. Now, all of them do, particularly in the public schools. They need it. They need a program where some man or men has the resources, has the knowledge, and has the ability to get the connections within that particular city or whatever to bring those people in to work with those young people. And like I said, you know, when I've worked with kids, you know, I was a firefighter, and on my off days, I would work with young people consistently, and in various schools. And a lot of times, the young people I worked with were, you know, out of pocket. In fact, I stopped working in middle school because I had to put my hands on somebody who challenged a female teacher, you know, and I wasn't going to sit by and let that happen. And that's tough. You know, because sometimes the kids would be so out of pocket. But, you know, Brothers of Kwanzaa, every time I interacted with Brothers of Kwanzaa, there was a lot of respect. There was a lot of attention. There was a lot of brothers and sisters wanting and willing to learn. And so the motivation was there, and that's a good program. So, you know, I know.
You know, I think that if I could just kind of add, I think that's how you set the you have to set that tone when you're working with anyone, you know. And part of this was the word I'm looking for is just kind of escaping me. But what we wanted to do was set the tone. Number one, where the students themselves would be in control in terms of those expectations. See, this model, what's interesting, you know, about this model is that it's youth-based, you know, youth-oriented. And that's from my own personal experience in Lackawanna, New York, where students, and that's where the whole concept. So it's interesting how the creator kind of pulled this together, and at least the experience to kind of come into Brothers of Kwanzaa. Because as high school students, we staged one of the first boycotts in the country, you know, and we were literally out of school for several months. But while we were out of school, we were being taught at one of the community centers, the Pritchett House, by university professors, Buffalo State University of Buffalo professors. While we were on the boycott, they were the ones that was teaching us. Now, what's important about this is that we did this as youth. We were like juniors, you know, sophomores, seniors, and we pulled this boycott together, but not only the boycott to be out of school, while we were getting our demands met, again, we ran our own school. So for me, it showed me what the power of youth can be if it's channeled in the right direction, you know? This also kind of built into setting that tone for what we were able to do with Milwaukee Public Schools. But I agree with you that it's almost a tragedy to have received the attention that we did in Milwaukee, to receive all of these awards and accolades. However, they were not willing to invest to be able to keep this model going, you know, as I kind of left the school, you know. So, yeah, I always have to kind of mention that because, you know, I don't know what it takes when you see something like this and you can see the results. I mean, again, we were looking at these students, and all of these students, well, even though we were at an art school, a specialty school, these kids were coming from all different walks of life, with all different type of issues, you know. So even though it wasn't concentrated because of the interest in the arts, the problems were really complex for a lot of the students, you know, that was there. So it wasn't a walk in the park, but it wasn't like some of the others. So,
right,
yeah.
Right. Okay. But, yeah, I witnessed what you're talking about in terms of many of the students showing the kind of leadership and assisting the other younger students. You know, it was a situation where they understood that we are our brother's keeper, you know.
Yes.
These kinds of principles and all the things about, you know, coming together, it was real, and I respected that and I admired that, you know. And that's carried on, like, because of some of the men that you worked with, the young men that you worked with who are now men, they're doing the same thing within their communities,
right,
with their families. So that's
fathers and grandfathers, you know.
Yeah.
And the true motto, Oshie, is really high school students, you know, working with themselves, but also working with middle school. You know, the true essence of this motto is it goes down. And the middle school students, we were at Roosevelt when we first started this year with the high school arts and Roosevelt Middle School with arts. That's where Dennis Leonard was, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the middle school students also took a responsibility. The model was set up where they would speak with elementary students. You know what I mean? So you had this continuum that you could kind of build on. And some of the students, I think even including Ramesses, were in a middle school group. So when they came to the high school, they became part of the high school. So that's where you got this continuum.
Right.
You got this information flowing. You got this exposure. You know, those type of things like that. And the big part is that we've seen grades change. We've seen behaviors change. And they were taking responsibility for their existence, you know, and for their community.
Ashe, that's the beauty of it, you know. And that's why, to me, if it could have been duplicated by more schools, imagine the ramifications of that kind of program being so consistent and ongoing, that there'd be a lot more benefit for our young
people. I'm glad that you brought that up. That's a wonderful segue to something that I wanted to talk about, which is, yes, we've been out of the loop for approximately 10 years, but in that time, we've decided to not only resurface, but also to reformulate our approach using up-to-date technology to scale the impact of Brothers of Kwanzaa. So instead of working specifically within MPS at a local level, we can now reach out to agents of other school systems using, you know, online courses that we've developed, and we're seeking to train those individuals so that they can implement their own intervention prevention model within their respective institution or facility.
Yeah, that's the beauty of the technology of today. You FaceTime, you know, webs, Zoom, and so forth. So the impact that can be made, yeah. And believe me, it's needed, seriously needed, because there's still a lot of places. And I know y'all keep track of the statistics and the information coming out of the number of particularly our students, particularly American African males, reading levels, test scores, and so forth and so on. You know. So
yeah, we're in bad shape.
Yeah.
And what I've been trying to say, and again, I've always said, I don't know if you remember Sam used to come and speak with the guys, that Brother Swamp is not an answer all, and it's not for everyone. That's the word I was looking for. With the students, a lot of times I would paradox so much, you know, because the responsibility had to be on them. See, there's a therapeutic essence to this model, because what we're trying to do with youth, and what we tried to do, is develop critical thinking skills, mm-hmm. you know, to be able to make
right.
better decisions. And I do believe that that's a big problem, not only in our community, but in society right now, in terms of being able to make good decisions, you know, those critical thinking skills that can mean life or death, you know. So you have to paradox that, I think, with you, what do you see yourself doing, and how you're going to make this happen without being honest with yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, and like Ramsey said, and it's just been beautiful. Oh, I do have to speak on this because, you know, it's just a blessing for me if I don't do anything, you know, at all, again, to see so many of these guys, and, you know, I'm not taking responsibility for that, but so many of these guys being very successful in terms of their life, but also still feeling the passion and the energy from this model, which was them, you know. So it's just a beauty, like you say. You mentioned Dr. Ferguson, you know, you got Ashabi, you know, you got Wilbur Baker, a lot of these guys are doing, you know, we got actors, and one of our guys right now is playing with the Isley Brothers, you know, so, okay. you know, and the musicians, and but they, which was all part of our jazz poets group. So, mm-hmm. yeah, it's just beautiful. And then Ramesses, you know, him kind of coming in, and because I tell you, not that I've given up, you know, those 2 years have not been on those 10 years class, mm-hmm. has not been my head whatsoever. Those 10 years has really been reevaluating the model. During this time, I was able to write this book manual, because what I wanted to do was be able to record, and to so others can pick this up and possibly maybe use it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that has been, you know, part of that process. So again, with Ramesses coming a little bit later, just shows you how to create a work when you feel as though, okay, I'm good. You know, I got this. And then, you know, office was provided, you know, with Dr. Ferguson. So it's interesting to see where we will be able to go with this. But we do believe that, and again, it's not a cure-all, but we do believe we have a model that's effective. We have the proven results over 23 years. So that's kind of where we're staying now, you know.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Ramesses.
I was going to say to speak to that, you know, it's like that old saying, you can get there faster by yourself, but you can get there, you can get further with a group.
Right.
Braxton carried us quite a bit, you know. He was instrumental in putting this wonderful program together. And, of course, we wanted him to enjoy his retirement. And so myself and several of the former members, or I don't want to say former, but several of the members that have gone through the program, we've decided to take on much of his responsibility and allowed him to have more oversight, you know, and that allows him to fall back and enjoy the fruits of his labor while we pick up the struggle from here and decide where Brothers of Kwanzaa should go in this next phase.
I say that's the most important thing. I think that's a great move for Brothers of Kwanzaa. You know, this brother Braxton's did all the groundwork, laid it out, and it showed tremendous potential over the many years, 23 years, you know. But now those who have gone through it, those who have been inspired by it, and those who have worked in it and now become successful in their own right are taking up the mantle and taking the torch and moving it forward. So I appreciate that, Brother Ramesses, and applaud all you guys. and I would definitely be willing to do whatever I can to work with y'all, no doubt.
Oh, of course, because we got to mention Shabby. We didn't say a Shabby. You cannot forget a Shabby. We got to put his name in there.
That's right.
He's been very active. You know Shabby well, I know.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Brother right. Ramesses. Yeah. You were going to say? Brother Ramesses?
I kind of was on my train. I forgot my train of thought. Sorry.
Okay. Well, I'll say this. I'll say this. Whatever I can do from this platform, you know, to consistently put the word out about the Brothers of Kwanzaa, and hopefully maybe there's somebody in a locale who is hearing this, that program would be great here. We could utilize a program like that, you know, and I think that's what's important, you know, that others hear about it and want to implement it. You know, at their school or whatever. Because it's not just schools.
Okay, so now I remember it was.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I wanted to say by offering us your platform and the ears of your listeners, you're doing more than enough, I think.
Well, I appreciate that. And I'm definitely willing to do whatever I can, brother, believe me. Because I love us. And I love for those who also love us, who are willing to do things to extend a hand to help our brothers and sisters move forward. You know, I look at you guys as that picture of that brother who's over that wall, reaching back, trying to, you know, grab that hand to pull them forward. You know, and that's how I look at Brothers of Kwanzaa as a self-help group organization. You know, and that is grounded. Because, I mean, when you talk about the seven principles of Kwanzaa of unity, self-determination, collective work responsibility, cooperative economics, you know, purpose, creativity, and faith, you know, those are the foundations. If we have that and everybody adheres to that, imagine what our community could be, you know?
Yes.
So, yeah, those principles are serious.
And those principles are a part of the pillars. See, again, you know, and that's what we started talking about in terms of a model. And there's no disrespect to anyone, you know, but I do believe, and I thought about this last night, what happens a lot of times in terms of the struggle and the movement, that either people burn you out or you burn yourself out. And a lot of times we're running on emotions, you know. And those feelings, which are good, but what happens when you reach that point where that stops? If you don't have, you know, that model in place to continue, and that's what happens a lot of time, I think, in terms of some of the failures that may happen. Again, you know, we're in some challenging times right now. The way we ran this model back, Oshie, when you were there, don't forget now, we started in 91, 92, couldn't run exactly like it did, I believe, then. However, the main component, when you start talking about like those principles of Kwanzaa as a way to build your community and yourself, and then still understanding, hey, these are the specific, when we talk about the five social indicators, which is part of our model as well, too, that with black males, where we are impacted more, you know, irregardless of what generation we're in, what problems that we're dealing with in society, if we go back to those, that's a model that you can bring about change, you know, not only for yourself, but also for the community.
Right.
And those are the things as developing that I wanted to make sure that we had in place. Because, again, you know, to me, it didn't matter what student. In fact, this model can work with, you know, with other groups. Because what we're doing, we want to be able to, because part of the issue, I think, is how do we reach folks now? You know, with this era that we're in life right now, you know, you got information thrown, you know, it's coming from all different ways, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. But what we lack is how do you critique the information that's coming in. What was the beauty of this model? And as you could say, you know, just like when you would come in, you know, part of our was like, hey, you know, you don't have to accept everything anybody says, but at least be able to listen to what they have to say.
Sure.
If there's something positive that you can use, then you pull that out to make you be able to be successful with your community or your family. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Right. It's not a force type thing. And that's developing critical thinking skills. Number one, you got to be able to listen. Part of our issue right now, too, I think with most people, we're not listening. We're there, but a lot of times we're not listening. You know what I mean? So if you're able to kind of create that environment, you know, like you say, what you ran into when you come in and the students, they are receptive. You know, a lot of them probably weren't into it, but at the same time, they were there and they gave you that attention and that respect.
Right.
So you don't know what to see through.
Right.
However, part of this model is that we challenge them to, hey, what did Brother Oshie talk about? We need 3 points for next week that we're going to talk about. So in other words, that put that person, and again, I think that's what we're going to need to do when we start talking about, because this was, it could have been intimidating for a lot of folks, as you know, especially at the time that they weren't, you know, seeing black students coming together. You know, we even had it set up where, you know, the kids were to be able to take at least one period of, you know, out of the week to be able to come, you know, for the meetings for 1 minute.
Right.
That's the other beauty. We're talking about 50 minutes a week,
right,
you know, for the school year. So, yeah.
I think allowing us the ability to lead the discussion was so crucial and so effective for a lot of different reasons. One reason was because as young people, you get tired of folks just talking to you, you know, rather talking at you. They aren't really addressing you. It's like they're just kind of spilling their information out and letting it stick wherever it does, and it doesn't stick. You know, people tune out, especially these young people, these days. It's important that we allow them to hear their perspective, not only because they feel validated when you allow them to be heard, and a lot of them haven't been heard. They've just been kind of talked to, right? They've been lectured. And two, it allows us to develop the care that they need by listening to their feedback instead of conjecture, you know, guessing what they might need. We don't really know what the young people need, but if we sit and we listen to them and allow them to lead to the discussion on their plight, then we begin to really understand how, as adults, we can really facilitate their care.
And if I could add on that, too, but that's where our answers come from, too, in terms of problems that we're dealing with as well, too, in society, in terms of youth, you know, being creative. When we did our Hands Against Guns initiative in Milwaukee, we sent out letters to all the students and asking them, you know, throughout MPS, send their response, and what is their take on being able to resolve gun violence. Now, we got all of that information, and this just shows the creativity that can come within the group when you kind of talk with each other. And so we sent these to all politicians. We sent one to Barack Obama, and you know, he sent us a letter back. But the whole idea was getting these different ideas, me be able to tap into what you use. And again, I go back to my own, you know, when I was in high school, and we developing what we call the SEEK program, Student for Education, Equality, and Knowledge. But this is youth oriented, you know. Hey, we see we could resolve this by doing this, and we can do that. We need to be able to tap into our youth, not just look at the problem, but what can they do in order to bring about change.
Yeah, just what Ramesses said is, and I'm thinking on it, it's so important to involve them in the solution process instead of them being preached to or lectured and so forth. Let them know that, hey, you are the solution. Come up with some ideas.
Exactly.
Let's work this out, you know.
Exactly.
Because, you know, nobody knows it all, but collectively, together, we can come up with the best, what would be the best for us collectively, and not just any one person, but for us collectively. So that idea, and of course, that's what Kwanzaa is, you know, unity, The first word in Kwanzaa is unity. In fact, that is the basis of Kwanzaa, is unity. And you can't get unity, you know, without having everybody agree to what we're unifying for, what we're unifying about, you know. And the main thing that the Brothers of Kwanzaa was about is to prepare young men and our people to be successful in any society, you know. And that's a beauty.
And, you know, and again, the backdrop, you know, the backdrop is the social indicators. I mean, that's only part of it. The problems we had to deal with, you know what I mean? You start talking about education, employment, health, you know, crime, life expectancy. You know, those are issues that has to that we have to address, because they're impacting us as black males more so than any other group in the United States, you know? So let the youth be involved in part of that. Number one, being educated, you know, with that education, that knowledge itself is going to help you to, you know, to be successful in life. And that's what we're, you know, and of course, that's what we're trying to change those statistics. I think that was in part of the original
right intent
writings that we had. Mm-hmm. We want to change these statistics, mm-hmm. you know, that are facing us. You know?
Well, the reality is...
I've got a statistic for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
If you'd like.
Sure.
All right, so we've got five social indicators. You got health, education, employment, crime, and life expectancy. But regarding health, the number one killer of African-American males, regardless of their age, whether they be an activist, warrior, scholar, a white-collar worker, a politician, it doesn't matter. The number one killer of black males is heart disease. Black men are literally dying of a broken heart out here. Mm. And the number one contributor of heart disease or hypertension, they call it, is stress, mm-hmm. right? And so we talk about I was doing a little homework. The Mayo Clinic tells us that stress can cause a steep rise in high blood pressure, but then when the stress goes away, the blood pressure returns to normal. But to you brothers on the phone right now, and to the listeners, who's ever listening, I want to ask, when does the stress go away? Right?
Never. So we live in a society that's very stressful. Exactly.
All right. So, yes, the black reality, to be black and alive, is a stressful ordeal. And that is the reason why, you know, our struggle now, well, the struggle before, well, the struggle continues to be the struggle for the mind, but in 2024, I would assert that the struggle is to take back our hearts. You know, it's a emotional struggle. If we could just get out of our own heads and change the perspective of life that we have, the life that we have personally, and how it relates to our environment, and how it relates to the world itself, our own worldview is what defeats us as a people. You know, it's like trying to run a race and your shoes aren't tied. You know what I'm saying? You gotta do good housekeeping with your emotional state. And a lot of what we do, and I'm kind of jumping around here, but my mind is racing. Even when we talk to the police, for instance, you'll be amazed how you can leverage your resolve to make the situation go in a more favorable direction for you, because if you approach these agents of the law emotionally or in emotional disarray, it'll always go against you.
Sure.
You know, and so our people need to learn how to be, I don't want to say less emotional, but we need better housekeeping. There's a stigma against seeking mental health. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that Brothers of Kwanzaa is looking to do in this new phase that we're at is we're looking to train the therapists and the non-therapists who are agents to improve mental health in the black community. So you don't necessarily have to be a social worker or a therapist, but we do have something for you that will allow you to create a more positive change within yourself and those around you.
Because the overall
mental health. Yeah.
Now go ahead. Finish that. Mental health.
I was just going to say mental health is the real struggle, man. If you don't have it upstairs, you got nothing. I mean, have you ever seen there are some homeless people out here who are actually very wealthy, but they don't have their mind, so they have nothing, and they're eating out of the trash because they don't have a perspective on where they are in life. They've lost it. If you don't have your mind, you have nothing.
Mm-hmm. And mental health is a very serious problem within this society. But the thing that I wanted to touch on is the fact that, we can overcome these things, but the problem, of course, is that a lot of us don't believe what the society has done to us. We don't believe that these things have happened to us because many times you are trained to believe it is your fault, that the problem is within you, and then you blame yourself, and it's very difficult for some of the brothers and sisters to purge themselves of that ignorance, of those things, to, feel good about themselves and get on a path to healing. The fact that the way that we live, our diet is an issue, there's so many other stressors that we deal with,
What
so
you say was an issue? I'm sorry.
Our diet, our lifestyles. So these things that we needed to look at and begin to set a different course for us in terms of how we interact with one another, how we behave, the things that we do, and to look at this stuff because, somebody checking out or dying, at the age of 40-something, 50-something because of, smoking and drinking and other, recreational drugs and poor diet. And you don't have to deal with the smoking. You just have a lifestyle where you eat a lot of, fats and
cholesterol.
Yeah, your cholesterol levels are up. So
if I can say, I'm gonna keep playing just for give the audience a just a little opportunity to see how we kind of tag it. Identifying health is one of the social indicators that affect black males.
Right.
Prostate cancer, that was one of the things. We would list certain statistics. So that's where the education comes. If you have some knowledge, at least, of the health issues, then you're in a position to say, hey, I need to be able to do this or do that, and do it early enough. Mm-hmm. I'm a prostate cancer survivor. Matter of fact, 18 years,
Mm-hmm.
But if it wasn't for early detection,
right?
I probably wouldn't be here, but it also affected, I've got three older brothers, which, affected, which they had as well too. But a lot, our fear of so many different types of things, but the only way to be able to approach that fear is to be able to discuss it. And, Oshie, you know that I'm also a clinical psychotherapist. Mm-hmm. And a big issue that I had specifically, with black males was my first couple of sessions would really be on the, like you said, a knowledge of why, you're probably under this type of stress when you look at the history of what's going on. So even that stage in terms of working with folks, and I think it has to be done in a particular way where they become receptive. Again, I don't believe in force feeding. However, when you're able to kind of put that on, and a lot of black men that would come into my office, again, I would spend time, not even so much talk about the issue that was happening with them, unless it, really kind of surfaced up. But we would talk about, because I would pick up that resistance. I knew where they were coming from. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like, hey, let's talk about this right now. The reason, why this could be helpful. It may not be for everyone, but, or even you're being forced to, but what is the reason that's kind of bringing you here? But let's look at the history of what has been going on with you. And as Ramesses mentioned earlier, that we're under more stress than probably anyone in this society, and we have been since slavery. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's an ongoing, process. So again, when we're able to bring folks in together, we're able to identify and educate, hey, these are the issues. Now, what can you do about it? You know, like for me, it was like, hey, early detection, let me go in and do what I need to kind of go ahead and do. It wasn't an easy decision, but that the long-term results, you know, those are the type of things I think that we have to keep on the table and have an environment where youth and adults can be able, because again, we're talking about youth, but you know, a lot of these issues are unresolved issues with a lot of adults as well, you know. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, we're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we have a number of people who are in the queue, and you brothers and sisters know what to do. Hit star twice to let you in. And then we'll take some questions from those listeners and further discuss the importance of a program that can be initiated in your community. And as Brother Ramesses said, we can do this, you know, with the technology. So, yeah. So, brothers and sisters.
Hey, before I know you got to go to break, when we come out, I want to, before we end, have Ramesses talk a little bit about our initiatives and where we're going from here as well, too. So hopefully we have a few minutes for that, okay?
Oh, we sure will, brother. Believe me, we sure will. All right. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're going to take a break. Come back from the break, we'll continue the conversation with Brother Ramesses Jones and Brother Gerald Braxton, Brother Zakwanza. All right. Stay with us, family.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
True. And lets us know that our freedom is near and don't take us through. It's the blood in our veins. Oh, our faith is strong. Ooh, we've got to press on.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network. Kwame Cobb and Shalin Duca, The Seven Principles CD. It is dated, but man, it's still beautiful. And that is the principle of Imani, of faith. Our faith is strong. Ancestral song. It's the blood in our veins. Yes, sir. And we're talking with Brothers Akwanza. That's a Akwanza song. Brother Gerald Braxton. And Brother Ramesses. So we're going to get back to the conversation. All right. We have some callers. We're going to take some callers. Okay, Brother Brax and Brother Ramesses?
Sure.
All right.
Yes.
Okay. 334. 334. Brother Ted. Brother Ted, how you doing,
Brother
man?
Good morning. And good morning to Brother Ramesses and Brother Brax. And it's a pleasure to listen to them and also to talk to them. You know, it's so very important. Those five letters, if you switch two of them, you have an Afro-Brazilian martial arts move, and then you also have the purpose of what the Jegna is. I don't know if anybody may have seen that or caught to that.
No. No, so, man.
Yeah, yeah, so the thing about it is that, you know, Frantz Fanon made mention of a quote he had. He said, each generation must discover its mission, fulfill it or betray it in relative occupancy. All right. I thought I've heard earlier about how this program is working with the youth, but can this program be modified in such a way as to be adapted to those who are of middle age, those who are adults of adulthood, and maybe even elders? Sometimes, you know, there's a question that I ask, especially for us as black men, will we ever or could we ever admit that we know we done did wrong? Excuse the vernacular. We know we done did wrong. And so there's got to be a way to help us through this process before it's too late. I think that elders and those of us who are 60 plus, 50 plus, however you want to cheat on your age, have to be able to admit that, one, we have to look at ourselves in the mirror, know what we done did, admit committed and be able to be of assistance to those who are coming behind us. And so I'm just curious to know, can that model be adopted or adapted in such a way to accommodate those of us who are elders?
All right.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Brother Brax.
I'll just keep one word, absolutely. That's the way this model was developed. Like I said, again, the importance of we specifically geared it towards black males because of the, you know, because of the need. But however, the model of is adaptable really to so many different groups when you just change the demographics. But the whole idea of being able to discuss issues and folks coming together. But I think I even mentioned that a little bit earlier, where it's very adaptable to adults as well. It's just that our focus has been, you know, geared towards the youth.
Okay, okay. Because I kind of came on a little late, but that's all right. That's all right. Thank you so very much. Because, you know, elders do have critical skills, especially from their perspective of experience, right? And so it's just a matter of being able to fine-tune those skills, right? And hopefully things can come from. And so I'm going to hold on, listen more. But one other request, Baba Oshi, if we can, to make sure that we get contact information, because I would love to be able to talk with those brothers. I'm in Montgomery, Alabama, so I'm way south of you guys. But that's all right. It's something that I think that might definitely be a benefit in this neck of the woods.
Right on.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Brother Love.
Absolutely. I can provide you with our email now, if you're, or email and website, if you'd like to take a look at our website. On the website, we have not only our mission, but we also have more about our founder Gerald Braxton, and opportunities to become an ambassador where you can, you know, further the cause of Brothers of Kwanzaa. That website is B as in Bravo, O as in B as in Bravo, R as in Romeo, O as in Oscar, T as in Tango, H as in Hector, E as in Echo, R as in Romeo, S as in Sierra, that's of, O as in Oscar, F as in Foxtrot, K as in Kilo, W as in Whiskey, A as in Alpha, N as in Nancy, Z as in Zulu, A as in Alpha.com. Brothersofkwanzaa.com, all one word. One A at the end.
All right. You got it. And I'll make sure I'll announce that. I have it too. So make sure that you can make that contact. Brother Marcus.
Yes, Brother Oshi. Greetings and greetings to your guests.
Thank you.
You know, what the brother's trying to do, they're trying to give us therapy in jail. Right, because this American society is jail, you know. This is a prison, you know.
Yes.
You know, the USA, my larger prison. You know, the food we eat, we don't manufacture it. We don't produce this food. So we go in there and grab the food off the shelf. Sometimes you can't even pronounce some of the ingredients in the food.
And that's what I was, Brother Marcus, that's what I was trying to do earlier, and I just couldn't think of the word, but now I got it. High fructose corn syrup, you know, which is in the food, which makes us eat a whole.
Try this and that. Some of the stuff I look at it and say, what the hell is this you're eating, you know? So the food we eat, the clothes we wear, we know that, you know, in South Africa, they sprayed some of the clothes with AIDS or whatever, you know. And we know what they did to the Indians here with the smallpox, you know what I'm saying? So food we eat, the clothes we wear, you go to the doctor, right, the medical system, the doctor tell you, you know what, Oshi, you got this. You don't know. You got heart problem. You don't know. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You really don't know, you know, because the doctor can't tell you anything. You see, when you come in, him say, that's my car payment right there. That's my mortgage right there. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, the educational system miseducate us, right? You know, and naturally, we don't have no security. You can't say the police is our security. So this is a jail. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think we're going to solve our problem here in this society. We can make a little dent, but I don't think we're going to solve it here in this society. I was reading a little chapter there, a little paragraph in Marcus Garvey's Philosophy and Opinions. And he said in all his endeavors here in America, right, he said the only solution he sees is you removing us from this society into a society where we have some control of our people. See, here we don't have no control on our people, you know.
Right.
You see, our people are rewarded for bad behavior. So even if we try to correct the bad behavior, the authorities will come to us, come and attack us. So what are you doing? You know, you ain't going to try to correct these Negroes here. They come and attack you. You know, so he said it's their total removal to a society of our own, where we can exercise some, he said, under rigid civil, you know? Because, again, as I said, they reward our people for bad behavior. That's why you see our youth running amok and acting a fool. You know, I'm in Memphis here. Our youth just bang, 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 bang. If they shoot at the police, they shoot at each other, killing each other. Black males.
Yeah.
Black males are the number one thing. So, you know, I applaud what the brother's doing.
Yes.
And, you know,
yes,
we just have to just keep on keeping on. But we got to have a plan to get out of this society, you know, because 500 years is long enough to know. You know, if we could have solved it, we could have done it in 500 years here. Anyway, that's all I got to say, brother. I'll use my phone and contact.
Thank you, brother Marcus. Appreciate you. Man, thank you.
All right.
Yeah, you know, it is a challenge. I admire what brothers Kwanzaa have done and continue to do and what they propose to do. You know, that is the ultimate solution, is Exodus. But while we're here, you know, we must find ways to, you know, find ways to help heal ourselves. Let me catch this caller. Brother Paul.
Baba Ochi, let me just say to my brother Marcus, them a turn the whole world in a prison, brother. Or the whole world them a turn in a prison.
That's right.
They're turning the whole world into a prison. It's not just America. That's the plan.
Fact.
And I can tell you that as fact. It's not just America. All these guns, the secret is they're all working together to enslave the whole damn world. So, you know, something I want to say, which you know, moved me, what the brother said, Baba Ochi. He said that biggest killer among African Americans males is heart disease. Yeah. Well, let me just say this. You know, obviously the brother supports that, and he's done his research.
Is that also brother Paul? Is that the same situation in the UK?
Well, let me just put it like this, Baba Ochi. When the body's not at ease, the body's not at ease, they say the body is, they say that you got a disease. And that means that your body's not at ease. You got some sort of disease, yeah?
Okay.
Now, the reality of it is that every disease starts in the blood, okay? And the blood is made up of water, and it translates with frequencies, because everything's a frequency, Baba Ochi. Bear me out. The point is, Baba Ochi, if we continually, from cradle to grave, lie to ourselves, that is not conducive to progress. That is not going to help the body to be at ease. If you're continually lying to yourself, from cradle to grave, your body's never going to be at ease. Therefore, you're always going to be susceptible to any disease. You know, the first lie, you know, we are indoctrinated with is the language. We from the day we're born, indoctrinated with English. English ain't our language. None of us. It's not our language. It's a language of the capturer.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've been indoctrinated with English, you've been captured. Simple as that. It's just simple. So how can you ever be at ease? You're captured. Your mind is captured. And no one tells you this. No one explains this to you because they don't know no better.
Mm-hmm.
They've just accepted the language of their conqueror. So how can they be at ease? They never. Then the bigger lie is religion. You're told, you know, I don't know what religion the brothers have, but I'm just talking the truth. You know, you're given a Eurocentric ideology, and you've accepted it. They tell you about this creation called Jesus Christ, Almighty, and you accept it. But these are ideologies of the conquerors, the Arab conquerors and the Eurocentric conquerors. But mm-hmm. most of us accept it because we don't know no better. So my premise is this. The question, Baba, is that the same in the UK? Listen, brother, I'm going to say it again. The same colonial plan is running throughout the world. It hasn't changed. And it's a colonization of the mind, and it's a colonization of the body, and it's a colonization of the soul. We just witness them use gene therapy. They shut the whole world down to use gene therapy, and they called it vaccine. Why did they call it gene therapy? Why is it gene therapy? Because it's to modify your DNA. Your DNA is made by the creator. That's where your soul lies. So they're trying to modify your soul. So they, by you speaking the language of your capturer, they've taken away your ability to communicate in your divine language. This is not your divine language. This is the colonizer's plan. So, of course, we're suffering from these diseases. Of course, we're running wild. Of course, the children are shooting each other. Of course, some of them go to university and come out worse, out of their mind. Yes, they yes. are romanticized and indoctrinated with their discipline. But sometimes when you talk to them, it's like you're talking to a complete, I dare not say idiot, but let me say stranger. Yeah? And this is where we're at. They don't come back home, their community, because they're totally indoctrinated out of their mind. Mm-hmm. So for me personally, Baba Ochi, asking that question, anywhere where these people have their governments, that's going to be the same position we're going to be in. It's even happening on the continent. I don't need to go to any of these places to recognize what's going on, because it's the same pattern. It's the same plan they're rolling out. It's the sister said one time on your show, Baba Ochi, she said it's the same playbook. It's the absolute same playbook. And that place where you live in, you know, Baba Ochi, that place where you live in called America, is the they use it as the big gun around the world.
Right.
They use it as the big gun.
Right. America is the military arm of white supremacy. America, so the military
when anybody stands up nonsense, when anybody looks at it and says, well, what is this madness? You know, they bring in the big guns, and there's nobody who can tell me. It's all the time. They bring in the big guns, right? And the reason why you speak English, because most of the plans which they operate there where you are, trust me, are made here, right here where I live. They're made here. And they talk to their
brother,
cousins over there.
Can I interject really quick? I just want to talk about that big guy.
Sure, go ahead. Go ahead, Ramesses.
You know, black folks have done more to unify our species with culture and with flourished with flowery language, with dance, with music. We've done more to unify our species than the Western civilization has done with guns and its so-called democracy. It's easy for us to look at our situation and all of the intricacies of it and feel like it is bleak. But we have unified our... Hey, listen. You know, they breakdance in communist countries.
Yeah, right? I've seen that.
These are countries that don't necessarily subscribe to the views and opinions of the westernized world, but they still adapt our views as African Americans because we are the underdog, and that speaks to the heart of our species. You understand? While they continue to try to subjugate folks with death, we continue to spread life,
the life of the party, man. That's how it works. So we can look at it and we can articulate the issue and we can compound the issue with facts, but you're only adding to your hypertension. You have to look at it as the fact that it's something about you, it's something about us that is indestructible. There's something that, even though they've given us crack, even though they've injected us with syphilis, even though they've created all this propaganda to vilify us, we continue to stand defiant of their ways.
I say.
And so, you know, you just have to, whatever it is that keeps you standing on your two feet, brother, you got to hold tight to it. You know, and you have to learn how to cultivate it so that it permeates through you and affects those around you in a positive way. Because that's what our music has done, man. That's what our culture has done. And who would have thought? Yes.
I hear that, right? But like I started this, and I was talking about disease and the body being not at ease. And what I'm trying to say to you, and I said it at the beginning, is the biggest problem is we lie to ourselves. That's what I said at the beginning. We lie to ourselves. And the brother, and what I'm trying to say to you, my brother, that is the biggest problem we have. Not heart disease and not stress. We've been through stress. If you... you know, I told Baba Olchi, I'm studying Chancellor Williamsworth, The Destruction of the Black Civilization. He talks about before you even came to those continents, the stress we went through. That stress is the natural order of human being. It's not stress what causes a heart disease. It's the fact that we lie to ourselves 24/7, brother. So, you know, I'm not here to get any agreement from anybody. I'm not talking about whether we be positive, because I know the reality of life. You need positive and negative to make current flow. So it's not about being positive. I'm saying the problem is we're living a lie, and we need to face up to that lie. Like the brother says previously, we need to look in the mirror and give up on the lies and realize the work we really got to put in. And I say no more. Take care.
If I could, brother, I don't disagree with you whatsoever. It was James Baldwin who said that to be a Negro in this country and to be relatively conscious is to be in a state of rage. Almost all the time.
Exactly.
All the time. Mm-hmm. So I don't disagree with you whatsoever, but I will say that you need to take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, got to.
In order to fight the good fight.
That's right.
You got to do that first. If hey, listen, however you think that you need to approach your struggle, you will not do it effectively. You won't do it effectively unless you're well rested, unless you can sleep properly, unless you can think properly. You can't even think straight to fight the good fight if your mind is constantly racing about all the different odds that are against you. Sometimes you have to consciously put blinders on, because some of this stuff is just noise, man. Some of it is noise, and you have to understand what your fight is, and you have to focus on just putting your brick in the wall, just putting your contribution in and leaving it alone, you know, because you drive yourself mad out here. You will, trying to think about all the ways that the world needs to be saved. I'm not saying that I don't delude myself into thinking that the world isn't what it is. It absolutely is. But in order for me to stop from being self-destructive, running to the weed or running to the wine or running to the women because I'm so stressed out, in order for me to focus, I have to just focus on the one thing that I can do in my situation that can bring about positive change.
I say.
That's it.
All right.
Hey, if I could, back before we go to the next call, I just wanted to say something, because part of one of the things that we kind of do in this model is called the mirror test, you know, and it really kind of speaks to you looking at yourself in the eye and really being honest with yourself. You know, you can fool other people. You can even fool the therapist that's in front of you. But when you look in that mirror and you have to ask yourself these questions about who you really are, you can't get away from that. So hopefully that opens up again, you know, if it's health issues or if it's mental health issues, if it's relationship issues. When you look in that mirror and you look yourself straight in the eye and you meditate for a second, you can't get away from the reality of that. Now, what you do with it becomes you. Either you're going to grow or you're going to let it eat you up. I just wanted to kind of tie that in, because I think it becomes important in terms of, you do have to know yourself in order to bring about not only change for yourself, but maybe even those around you. Okay. Just wanted to add that.
Well, the thing is this, you know, it's important that we do things as an individual, but what's most important is what we do collectively. So in order for me to effectively change or effectively have an effect on the collective, I got to be together, you know?
Right.
Otherwise, I'm a contradiction. Otherwise, I'm a hypocrite. Otherwise, you know, and to be exposed. And I remember doing what I've been doing for these many, many years now. I remember working at Marshall High School with a group of students. And I remember this young sister at Marshall High School, you know, and I thought to myself, man, if I try to hit on her, she's a young student. What if I did that? She got pregnant or diseased or something like that. Then everything that I try to do and say is a lie. Mm-hmm. It's a hypocrite.
Right.
So you don't touch. Okay. You don't go there. You be true to who you are. Be a man of your word. Be a woman of your word. Be committed to what we're trying to do. And what I'm trying to do is help our people. I'm trying to put something on their minds. I used to tell the students all the time, I come here to put something on your mind, to get you to think outside of the imposed boundaries that the society has placed upon you, you know, to break the chains that, or to release the vice. I use this analogy that these crackers have put a vice grip on our minds.
Yes.
And it's hard to think outside of that. And there's only one way to release the vice grip. If you know that tool, there's a knob at the end of the handle that you turn. And the more you turn it, the greater you can release that tension. And the symbolism of turning the knob is acquiring knowledge of self, gaining confidence in who you are. You keep turning it until finally, bam, you break it open. And not that you challenge white folks. To hell with that. It was that you work with each other.
Only one way to you know? Device.
So...
If you know that too, there's a knob.
So that's what.
You'd be amazed how seeking your own sanity and maintaining your sanity is a very radical act indeed.
Especially in this society.
Where you're constantly being bombarded with negative self-concepts, right? Especially as a young person, there's very little to model. And I think that's what was really great about the program was that they brought brothers in like you, Brother Oshi, who we could look at and say, wow, you know, this brother right here has got himself together. I wonder if I could, you know, get myself together like him. It was a break from what we saw on TV, and it was a break from what we heard about ourselves on the news, right? And as older people, as adults, you begin to see how society also imposes its expectations on you as a man, you know, and what you need to be for a woman and what you need to be for society and who you need to be in whatever given dynamic. But the reality is you have to have a strong self-concept and you have to feel good about yourself. And that with that right there is the radical move, you know. From there, I mean, once you get your mind sorted out, it's amazing how the ideas for solutions just come to you. I mean, whether the solution be what to do about crime in your community or what to do about politicians you don't agree with or whatever the situation may be that you can articulate that is the issue, you won't arrive at that issue until you have your mind sorted out first.
And you're right. Very good point. And that's what Brother Ted, your brother from Montgomery, Alabama, was talking about, why a program such as Brothers of Kwanzaa would be ideal and good for older brothers and sisters, you know, young adults, maybe even some elders, because it gives us the concepts of who and what we are historically, you know. You said something, Brad.
Hey, other part of this, too, is that how we can learn from each other. And I think I kind of mentioned that a little bit earlier in terms of the guys coming together. And I've always promoted, hey, you don't accept everything anyone, you know, says to you. However, if you're able to listen and exchange, say, hey, we're in a group together. Hey, oh, this is what I got. That maybe opens up your mind to another avenue. You know, we have to be able to work together collectively to be able to to bring about some change. But first, we got to be able to listen to each other. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. At least you don't have to accept us. And a lot of times, as adults, for sure, we have a big problem with that. You know, mm-hmm. we can't even listen. But once you're able to listen, that allows you to, you know, like the brother's talking about the health thing, you know, mm-hmm. it opens your mind up to say, hey, maybe I could try this in order to bring about this. However, if it's not even on the table, if it's not in the discussion, then, you know, your chances of growing are going to be probably pretty slim, you mm-hmm. know. So those are the type of dynamics, those are the type of things, especially with younger folks as they're developing their minds in order, you know, what they're going to go do in life. I looked at it as being like a tool chest. Hey, you can use this for this or use that for that, but you got some tools to use. A lot of times, we feel as though we don't have anything.
Right. You know? No, you got a toolbox. You got to have a toolbox that for certain situations, okay, I need this. And you know, because in a real toolbox, when you come up to needing a wrench, you know, or a crescent wrench as opposed to a box wrench or something like that, you know, you need those certain type of tools to make sure that you can continue to move forward in the project, you know? Exactly. So whatever comes up, you got it handled.
Mm-hmm. I want to do a shout out real quick to, because one of the techniques that I've kind of used in our groups is something called rational behavior therapy. This was, his name is Dr. Maxie Maltsby. But again, when you start talking about developing critical thinking skills, making those decisions that could be life saving, and he's a brother, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you don't find any people of color in that therapeutic field who have, you know, established a model of intervention. And that's what, again, a lot of my drive was like, hey, we need to have something that's adaptable to us and developed by us, you know. Mm-hmm. But part of that, again, that's part of that little toolbox. Hey, and I use it so much with students, just in terms of trying to get them to slow down, take a look at what's going on. Are you really being objective as to what these issues are, you know, and what can you do about it? You know, those type of things like that. It's one thing to be able to just keep talking and talking, but what are you going to do? This model was built on not so much just talking about the problem, but how do you develop a solution, you know, for those problems? Mm-hmm. I think it's ongoing. I think, you know, we're going to continue to deal with issues. Each generation is going to be a new challenge, just like when we were in high school. And, you know, those are back in the late 60s. And we took that stand as a whole different reality. However, you continue to address.
Right. Well, I think the sad thing is that, you know, there was that time that, you know, when me and you, Brax, grew up in the 60s, that there was some change and a possible idea of some serious change happening. But because of some of the leadership wanting this system to be more responsive and to open up more, so that was the perception that we're going to go in that direction as opposed to independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. We didn't go in that direction. And as a consequence, some people got some jobs. I mean, shit, I got on the fire department because of affirmative action. That's a fact, you know. But in the overall situation, as many of my callers, and that's what this program is. This program is a Pan-African kind of program. Mm-hmm. This program deals with those kinds of issues because we don't believe, at least I'm not speaking for my listeners, I'm speaking for myself and what we espouse in this program, that this system is going to do anything fundamentally to change to help us. We're in a constant fight. We're in a constant fight. And to me, the fight should be with each other because the hell with fighting white folks. The hell with trying to appeal to them. Yeah. Our thing is to save each other, to save our lives. Let me get Sister Habia in here. Hey, my sister, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Enjoying your program, and I want to just say salute to your guests. You have some brothers that are, you know, they are doing some powerful work.
Yes, they are.
For the liberation of our people. And it's so great. And I just want to salute the positive work that they're doing with the youth. And I think that's awesome. And so we got a lot of freedom fighters out there. And I mentioned it a lot on the show. We got many freedom fighters out there. You may not always hear about all of them, but that does not negate that the work is not being done, that the work's being done. So I'm just saying, I think that's beautiful. And I believe that, you know, and it's good to, we don't always have to chastise ourselves to be part of the, in our fight for liberation. And when we do, this is something Baba Wakesa had, one of his statements he said was that we don't have to always chastise ourselves to fight liberation, and to do so, it's just the bidding of our oppressor. So that's just to say, you know, if we keep tearing each other down and saying we ain't nothing and everything is bad and it's all our fault, you know, it's doing the work of the Yoruba also. So Wakesa was saying how we should raise ourselves up and praise ourselves. And we do that, and we still, you know, and that's not to negate that, you know, we got to have some self-inflection and that, but also, you know, it has to be both, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just saying I love our people. Our people are beautiful. And I say to your guests, you know, they're a good example of how we fight our liberation for our people and believing in our people and our youth.
Okay. Thank you, my sister. Appreciate that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. These brothers right here have done great work, and many positive men have over these many years, although they've been dormant. I don't know what, if I should use the word dormant for the last 10 years, but I know the 20 years preceding. Huh?
I said, no, we haven't been dormant.
Right.
But it's dead.
Right, because I know I've been on conference calls in the last few years, mm-hmm. where, you know, you're planning on taking trips, you're planning on reunions, you're planning on, you know, mm-hmm. being active in some way. So, you know, no, I shouldn't use the word dormant, but yes. I think now the transition is to develop a program that can be used using the technology. And having Brothers of Kwanzaa, you know, happening across the country in major areas who want to have it happen,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yes.
where, say, for instance, mm-hmm. I got a group of young men, and on Thursday nights or Thursday evenings after school, you know, those mm-hmm. young men would work with Brother Ramesses or whoever else, or yourself, Brax, or me, whoever, you know, mm-hmm. on a Zoom call where you can see it and we can interact and talk and so forth, and maybe have some others in other cities. And so we're getting the same information, you know,
mm-hmm.
and we're all moving in that one direction collectively together.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So how do you, so what is it, Brother Ramesses and Brother Brax, do you guys want to do with Brothers of Kwanzaa at this time?
I'll take that one.
Okay, go ahead, Brother Ramesses.
Right now what we've done is we've established a digital footprint, which is to say that we have a way of interacting with people locally and remotely through technology. A good way of saying it is we have a website, we have a LinkedIn, we have social media, and through these avenues, we can find ambassadors. We can find individuals that are willing to further the cause of Brothers of Kwanzaa, right? Those individuals that see a need, like the brother who called in from Alabama, they see a need in their community, and they wish to have the skills that they need to create a positive impact in their environment. So long explanation, short, is that we're now online. The next thing is to develop, establish, and foster relationships with facilities in which this type of care will occur, such as group homes, correctional facilities, schools and colleges, residential treatment centers, anywhere where these agents are working, we seek to help them upskill and understand more comprehensively the issue that they were, rather the issue, the situation that they work within, but also to expand their repertoire in administering these kind of administering care, right? So we want them to be very effective at bringing about a positive change within the Black community as it relates to mental health and youth development. So we've developed from Gerald Braxton's manual, we've developed a learning module, and we have it on our website. And it's available to those who are willing to be ambassadors and want to learn more about how they can be more effective at creating positive change.
And you know, all I want to add, and, you know, and the beauty of this, too, is that it's really easy to implement. You know, it looks like it might be real difficult, you know, because we, you know, go over, a period of time. But it's so easy to implement. And the way that I developed this was twofold. Because, again, you know, the reality of it is that, you know, ideally, you know, if you're a therapist, that would maybe be the ideal, you know, person to administer. But the reality of it is not that many of us out there. You know what I mean? So this needed to be put in terms where if you're not in that field, you can still implement it if you follow, you know, this model. And it doesn't have to be that, you know, that difficult. You know, and I think that's the beauty of it, because a lot of times, you know, and that's why, you know, by me being a Black social worker, you know, there's not many Black males out there that's kind of doing it. So we're in such a minute in terms of numbers that we can't really be there. However, so but we still need to be able to address our community and to hopefully be able to bring about some change. So that's why this model is kind of geared for a layperson being able, you know, you got your church and, you know, you got your group. But that's the other part. You know, you got to have someone who's going to be consistent, you know, just like you all, you know, you were always there, you know, I could depend on you, you know, but that's what the students, that's what the youth look at. They look at that,
they
you
do.
Know, in terms of
they do. Your consistency, how committed you are you? You know, I've had people who years later, oh, like, your brother Oshie, I remember you, I used to come to my school, da, 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 you know, and you know, that's to me, it's like I was here, I'm here in Atlanta, and I went to a Juneteenth Day program, and a brother said, hey, man, your brother Oshie, I came to your school, in your class, and because of you, I'm a teacher, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm like, wow, you know, it's a beautiful thing. That's why, to me, you must be sincere in what your efforts and what you're doing, you know? Mm-hmm. And you must give it to them straight, no chaser, because, you know, they will remember that, they understand that, you know, that you were not saying one thing and doing another. You were amplifying that and exemplifying that. So,
we got to be direct. I mean, even when you look at the name, when we first started this this program with MPS, I mean, it sent shocks through. You know, Brothers Zaquan, African American male self empowerment.
Yeah.
Not only white folks scared, but Black folks too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But you know what?
Yeah. No, really. Yeah.
We were unabashed. No lamp. I mean, we wanted to be direct because the issues. We had no time to play games.
Right.
We had to get direct to what's kind of going on. Mm-hmm. Now, if we could look at all these other catastrophes and situations that's going on in life and it's in the country, why aren't we addressing the issue that's affecting Black males? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
What can we do? You know, so our approach was coming directly and highly visible. You know, it wasn't no game. It wasn't like we trying to, do something behind. You know, I wanted to be visible because in order for this to survive, that's what we had to do.
Right. You know, well, there was nothing covert, but the reality is that we are deeply affected. And so that was being known, you know, and we were stating the case, and we're going to do something about it. And I love that courage to say it and speak that truth, and more importantly, to come up with some solution that we came up with to deal with those issues, to deal with those problems, you know, those indicators, dealing with education and health and so forth, you know.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we only got a couple of more minutes. If anybody else wants to chime in, hit star twice. Otherwise, I really want to thank my guest, Brother Gerald Braxton, who is the creator of Brothers of Kwanzaa, and Brother Ramesses Jones, who has taken the mantle to. Are you the executive director now, brother? Is that your capacity?
My official title is Director of Strategy.
Director of Strategy. But well, then we got it, yeah. You got the right person. Brother Ramesses called. Oh, I got another caller here. It's my good brother, my co-host, Brother Irv Lewis. Brother Irv, how you doing, man?
How you doing, Baba Oshi? I was trying my best to get in to hear this brother, man. I'm so glad he was on. I just wanted to thank him for coming on the show.
Right on.
I tried my best to listen off and on as I could because I was in a meeting and it was a lot. But anyway, I just want to thank him for coming on and giving the information that he did about the Kwanzaa.
Well, thank you, my brother. All right.
You're welcome.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, before we sign off, I just wanted to wish my beautiful wife a happy 50th anniversary, as I mentioned to you earlier. Can't get off the line without acknowledging her and spreading it out, you know. So,
Ashe, beautiful. And I'm wishing y'all a happy anniversary and many, many more years together, man. Believe me, many more years together. Also, too, Ramesses and Nikki, my daughter Nikki says, what's up? How you doing?
Yeah. Hello, said hello. Have her call me.
Okay, I sure will. And, of course, Shirley says hello, Brother Brax. So,
okay, yeah, tell both of them I said hi and I send my love all. You know?
Right on. Right on.
Yeah, man, we're so proud of you, man, you know, for all what you've done, you know, just hasn't been talking, you know, your feet have been on the ground. And I did want to mention, too, I want to give a shout out to Milwaukee, even though I mentioned certain folks, but it shows you what happens when a community comes together. The Milwaukee community was just, you know, just beautiful in terms of support. And I don't know if they had ever, you know, have ever seen anything like this before or not, but those are the type of things that keep you kind of moving, you know.
Right, you're encouraging. It's encouraging. Yes.
A festival or, you know, all our, you know, assignments and a lot of the parents and different things. And that's all the part, you know. So we're talking about directly, but also we got to look at the part that the community. And when you see that, we a lot of times take a lot of negative hits in terms of our community, but we got a beautiful community, you know. Buffalo, New York, Lackawanna is the same way, and I'm quite sure you see that. But it also, like we encourage our youth, you got to plug into what's positive. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's happening, but you just got to plug in. All right, I'll leave it at that.
What I'd like to do is talk with both of you and that we come on the program at a date real soon to talk about how, and we'll put some broadcasts out there, how you can hook up and become a part of what the Brothers of Kwanzaa is about, and that in your particular city, you may, like I said earlier, you may have a group of young men or whatever, you know, and you're part of a community center, how they can have those young men, you know, follow, get into the program of what Brothers of Kwanzaa is about. You know, because a lot of time people ain't got they have a feel for things, but they don't have a program.
Exactly.
You know, that they can get into it, that they can follow, and they can see some kind of direction, you know. Mm-hmm. So let's do that and put that out there, okay?
Yes, sounds good.
What does that sound like, Brother Ramesses?
Sounds awesome. It sounds like they need to follow us at brothersofkwanzaa.com. We're also on Instagram. We're also on LinkedIn, and we're on Facebook as well. You can also email us at brothersofkwanzaa@gmail.com. So that's Kwanzaa with one A at the end, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook. And I'm thinking if there's one other. But, yeah, we're out there. Just look for us. You will find us, and we'll be more than happy to engage you. If you have any questions for us, direct it to any of our various platforms, and we'll get back to you in a timely manner.
All right.
Thank you so much for having me, Brother Ocean.
Thank you, Brother Ramesses. Thank you, Brother Gerald. Appreciate y'all.
Okay.
We end this program. You bet. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do it out, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. A great weekend. Shemhotep. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Vahodie. Abibi Vahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Have a blessed and wonderful and safe weekend, family. Peace.